Agatabach, Agatachedus. In the Sichas that they'd ever spoken the year of Tafshin Nun Beis, so in the week of Parshas Mishpatim, they ever spoke about the events that were taking place at that time. The meeting between the United States and Russia and other major powers, the other, France, England, others. The meeting was about reducing weapons and military activities and agreeing to work together in order to improve things in the world, to use, ever connected it with the speech that the president had given at that time, the first President Bush had given a speech about how we're going to be cutting down military expenditures and we're going to be able to use that same money to help improve the economy and other things. They never connected this with they never explained the significance of these events in the context of the work of Mashiach in the world. That this is a sign that Mashiach is already present and operating within the world. And these events that are unfolding are the beginning, so to speak, of the fulfillment of the prophecies connected with Mashiach, that it says one of them is V'chitzu chavresim li'itim, they will beat their swords into plowshares, that ever says swords are things that are used for military purposes, plowshares are things that are used for to help the economy for economic purposes, to provide for people's needs. So that's the idea of beating the swords into plowshares. And they never explained that this is directly connected with the work of Mashiach in the world and the fact that it's this can be seen from the fact that it takes place in New York City, which is the place of the Nasi HaDer, is the Mashiach of the Der, and so on. Towards the end of that sicha, the Rebbe says, after all this, there's a big question, how could it be that we're seeing all of this going on in the world and we don't yet have the command from above to build a Beis HaMikdash? That's what the Rebbe, the question that the Rebbe raised, how could it be that we don't yet have the commandment from above to build a Beis HaMikdash? In the next week's sicha, in the sicha of Parshas Truma, Tavshin and Beis, the Rebbe spoke about the idea that every Jew is shayach to zahav, to gold, and the Rebbe explains that every Jew, a whole sicha, the Rebbe explains how every Jew has the power to contribute and be involved in the process of building the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore every Jew has to have what's not needed in order to build the Beis HaMikdash. The Rebbe says now we already have to have the lesson is for every Jew that he has to reveal the ashiras that is inherent lishayach to every single Jew, because we need to have the, since zav, gold, was created to build the Beis HaMikdash, and now we're at the time when we need to start being concerned about building the Beis HaMikdash, so every Jew has to have gold. But if we look at the sicha where the Rebbe talks about this idea that every single Jew is shayach to, is an asher be'etzim, the Rebbe asks the question, what does it help to say that every Jew is an asher be'etzim, is inherently shayach to great wealth? The Rebbe says, there's a big difference between not having something and having to work to acquire it. Is different than knowing that you have it, then you just have to work to reveal it. The question is, what exactly does that mean? What exactly is the difference, especially looking back, where it's now 21 years later, we haven't seen any real major shift in terms of people's revealing any a special great wealth relative to the way things were 20, 21 years ago. So what is this idea that the Rebbe is saying, what is this change from before? The Rebbe says, we don't yet have the instruction to build the Beis HaMikdash. Then the next week the Rebbe says, now we already do have to start preparing to build the Beis HaMikdash. And the idea that we have to, that every Jew has this inherent wealth that they have to reveal. And if that was the case, what happened in Tavshin Nun Beis? Why not, if that's true about every Jew, that every Jew has this inherent wealth, why did we wake up in Tavshin Nun Beis? What happened 10 years before that, 20 years before that, 100 years before that? If that's the case, that every Jew is shaykh to wealth be'atzim and only has to be megala, the wealth that they have. Clearly, the Rebbe is saying something changed now relative to the way things were before. So it's interesting that even though the Rebbe doesn't openly connect the two things, in the Sichur Parashat Truma, the Rebbe also started off with the lesson of since we're entering into the month of Adar, and we know that Mishenichnas Adar Marvin B'Simcha, the Rebbe spoke there also about this Indian that with the, what's the Rebbe explained what is the Chazal learned that Kishem Shem Mishenichnas of Mimayatim Simcha, just like when you go into Av, you decrease in Simcha, so too when you enter into Adar, you increase in Simcha. So what's the Chazal seem to be linking the two things. The fact that when you go into Av, you decrease in Simcha, to when you enter into Adar, you increase in Simcha. So the Rebbe explains that the Simcha of Adar has the power to the Simcha of Adar. The reason why they're connected is because the Simcha of Adar has the power to negate all the negative things of the month of Av. And that's how the Rebbe started off the Sikha. Then the Rebbe goes off into speaking about the Parshas Truma and this idea of Zohar being the first of the gifts in the Mishkan and the fact that every Jew is shaykh to having Zohar. And the Rebbe connects back and the Rebbe says that that the lesson is that we have to have, every Jew has to reveal his inherent wealth, and there has to be this great simcha, especially connected with the geula, and to negate all the negative things of the geulas. So a lot of things seem to be blended together here. What is this idea that that we have this inherent wealth and all we have to do is reveal it? And similarly, again, this power that the Rebbe was talking about, that of joy to negate all the negativity of Chayyidah Shav, of Golos in general, and to bring about the Geula. So, traditionally, if you look at all of the everything that's explained to Chassidus about the whole dynamic of Golos, and actually if you look in the writings of the Rabbeim, starting in Torah Ori, it talks a lot already in the Shmoyis Parshas, they talk a lot about the whole concept of Golos, similarly in Torah Ori, Megillas Esther. You understand the whole way that Golos works, that basically what seems to be happening in Golos, for example, the Al-Dereb says in Torah Ori, he describes what it's like in Golos. So he says, what it's like in Golos is that people try to get close to God and they feel like they're trying, they feel like they're not getting anywhere. The same thing, people daven, you ask, and you don't feel like you're getting answered. You don't feel like you're getting anywhere. You don't feel like you're getting any closer. You don't feel like you're getting, your prayers are being answered. So the Alter Rebbe explains that actually, this is the way that Golos works. So he explains that the way it works in Golos is, he says, so the Alter Rebbe says, continuing where we were, I got a little thrown here. The Alter Rebbe says that actually what's happening is, the way it works in Golos is that, the way the Zohar says, Kutshabrichu, in the time of Golos, is Kutshabrichu, Solik Le'ela. What happens is that the godliness that's invested in the world sort of leaves the world. So almost as if God steps away from the world. So in terms of the divine presence within the workings of the world, God's presence is not felt. So the Rebbe explains, he says, that doesn't mean that that God is further away from you. He says, actually what it means is that infinite godliness is actually closer to you. That's what happens in Golus, but infinite godliness is hidden from you. So the godliness that's invested in the world, that used to be present in a revealed way, that Jews saw in the Beis HaMikdash, and Dal Rebbe says, and it had real practical implications. When they would daven, they would get an answer. You would daven, you would ask for something, you would see, you would get the answer, you would see that what you're doing has an effect. When you try to get close to the Eivishter, when you worked on yourself, you try to get close to the Eivishter, you could see the difference, that you felt closer because the Eivishter was present, the Eivishter was accessible. So the Alter Rebbe says, you actually saw the difference through your efforts, you could see if you were closer to the Eivishter or further from the Eivishter. You could see when you davened, you were answered. Now, the Rebbe says in Golus, it doesn't work that way. In Golus, the way it works is that the godliness that's invested into creation leaves, so to speak, and, or at least it obviously doesn't leave because the world continues to exist and function, and it's all there. But the divine revelation, God's presence is not felt within creation, but His infinite presence is actually present even more. So what happens is, the way the Rebbe says it is, that in Golus, davening isn't so much to get the thing that you asked for. Because you see, you daven, you don't get the thing you asked for. He says, what's davening about? Davening is just about connecting with the Eivishter. Is making that connection with the Eivishter. So the Rebbe says, he says a very interesting lashon there. He says that in Tehillim it says, V'ani sefila. I am the tefillah. So the Alter Rebbe says, in Golus, the tefillah is not for what you're going to get. In Golus is v'ani tefillah. I am the tefillah. That's not about. It's not about what I'm asking for. It's not about what I'm getting. Because in Golus, it does. It's not that it doesn't work at all. God forbid. Nobody says davening doesn't work at all. But he says. So he says there are people who in Golus, they work hard to grow spiritually, and they daven, and they don't see any results. He says, and there are shaitim that are neiflim mizeh. He says, there are idiots that because they don't see any progress, they give up. They feel like, I'm wasting my time because they don't see any progress. So he says, the people who they don't see progress, spiritual progress in Golus, and because of that they give up, he calls them shaitim. He says, what are you giving up for? That's exactly how Golus works. That's exactly how it works in Golus. You're actually getting closer, but you don't see it, you don't feel it, and in fact, in a way, you're even closer than they were in the time when the godliness was revealed. But you don't see it. When will you see it? You'll see it after Mashiach comes, you'll see it. But that's how it works in Golus. In Golus, you work, and you don't necessarily see the results. But you should know that the results that you're accomplishing in Golus are much greater than whatever they were accomplishing in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. The only thing is, you're going to see it later. You're not going to see it now. So that's, in Golus, it's not about seeing results.
What about positive feedback? You know,
right. And he says, you're not going to get, there's no guarantee that you're going to get any positive feedback. In fact, it may look like, you feel like you're wasting your time. Feel like you're not getting anywhere, you're not doing anything, you're not accomplishing anything. You should know, Taket, you're accomplishing much more and you're much closer, and all of this will be revealed after Mashiach comes. He says that's what's so great about the Yom Tov of Purim is that you saw, even in the darkness of the Golus, you saw actually how the Eivishter Taket is really, yes, involved and is really running everything. So you got to peek behind the curtain to see that even in the darkest Golus, this Faket, they was just much more involved in running everything. Fine, but that's how Golus works. So, when the Rebbe comes along and the Rebbe says, and in fact, this, if So let's apply it to the work that the Rebbe gave us for our generation. If you look at the work of Shlichus, right? How does the work of Shlichus work? The work of Shlichus works that you start off with nothing. You don't have the resources, you don't have the money. You don't necessarily even have any special spiritual offerings to give the public. There's a sikha where the Rebbe says that what's the lesson that we learn from the fact that Chazal learned out the three people that they forget, all his sins are forgiven. And one of them is someone who gets married, one is someone who's Ayla Ligdula. So the Rebbe says, how do we learn out that someone who gets married, that Michael Olus Averis, we learn it out from Esav. So the Rebbe says, what's the lesson from that? The lesson is that even somebody who feels that he's on the spiritual level of Esav, he should also go on Shlichus. The Rebbe says, the idea is he should also go on Shlichus, because he'll be Ayla Ligdula. That's called Ayla Ligdula. Meichel Nekalav Einosav. So he's starting with even though he feels like he himself is in terrible shape. So he's in terrible spiritual shape. He has nothing spiritual to offer. He has nothing material to offer. What's the idea of going out on Shlichus? The idea is, the Rebbe explains, if you look at the whole Basi Lagani, how the Rebbe set it up, the whole idea is that just like we say that in Golos, that you're connecting with a much deeper level of the Eibishter, and therefore you may not see anything revealed through your efforts because you're connecting with a much deeper level of the Eibishter. The same thing is b'negeya to a Jew himself. The work in Golos, which the Rebbe compares to going to war, and to fighting the falsehood of the world. To take the sheker of the world and to build it into a, to take the sheker and turn it into a carriage, to build it into a beam for the base HaMikdash, right? So what are you going to war? What happens? The work in Golos of working in the darkness of in a way of shtus d'kedusha al piseichel. You don't have you yourself don't even have them what to offer. You don't have what to work with. You don't have what to offer. And what are you doing? You're going in a way of shtus d'kedusha, and through that you tap into to deeper kaiches within your own neshama that you normally don't have access to. Just like the work in Golos is, the point is that you're connecting with the Eibishter on a level that's beyond the normal level that operated in the time of the Beis HaMikdash when godliness was revealed. Now you're working within the darkness, within the concealment, you're connecting to a deeper level of the Eibishter. The same thing applies that through the work and effort that you do, you're also connecting to and revealing a deeper level of your own neshama that you normally don't have access to, you normally have no way of connecting with, but through doing this work, you reveal a deeper level of your neshama, which is in fact one of the reasons why you're able to be successful and connect with others and to fight this battle and to accomplish anything, is because you're not operating with your finite, limited, revealed kaiches. You're tapping into much deeper kaiches. And similarly, the Rebbe says that the marshal that's brought in Basi Lagani of giving, that the king opens up his storehouses, opens up his hidden treasures, and gives them to the soldiers in order to carry out the war. That the idea, again, to many of the Maimarim, the Rebbe explains what is this hidden treasure. It's the aspect of godliness that's Lamai Lamaila Adin Ketz. So it's all very interesting and very exciting, but basically what it means is it's godliness that you, again, godly kaiches that you normally don't have access to, that you normally can't relate to, can't connect to. And it's through the Rebbe explains that through the officers give it to the actual soldiers, the actual foot soldiers who carry out the war. There is through the Rebbe when we say that the Rebbe gives keches, Someone to go out on shluchas means that even though you're working in the dark, and you're working, you're in the dark in terms of yourself. You yourself are in the dark, and you're going out into the world into the dark. So you don't have what to work with, and you don't have who to work with, and you don't have. So the idea is that you're being given higher kaches. You're being given access to higher levels of godliness that you normally can't tap into with your own kaches. Similarly, by doing this kind of work, you tap into your own deeper kaches in your own neshama, which also, again, is through your connection to the Rebbe, that the Rebbe gives you access, enables you to be able to do that. And that's how you go out and you fight the battle with a world full of falsehood and darkness, and fight the war of goals. What happens when the war is over? What happens when that war of galus is over? Now along comes the Rebbe, and the Rebbe says, the whole sikh of Parshas Mishpatim Tavshin Ubeis, the Rebbe came to explain that now, even this, the Rebbe made the, what's the connection between that the Goyim are deciding to be less involved in military conflicts, and to be less involved in producing weapons and so on. The Rebbe explains, what's the connection with Parshas Mishpatim? The Rebbe explains, Parshas Mishpatim are those laws that even the seichel of a guy understands. That the seichel of a human being understands, not just a Jew. In fact, so much so that the Torah has to tell you that when you have a court case that affecting these monetary issues, don't take it to a Goyish court, even though their intellect understands these laws the same way. You're not supposed to take it to a Goyish court, you have to bring it to a Torah court, because we do it because it's Torah, not because it makes sense. But the fact, so the Rebbe says, that what happened here, what's amazing about these events, that the Goyim are now deciding to change their whole outlook about the war and peace, the Rebbe says is that the chiddush is that the seichel of the goy is already starting to understand the world changed. The Rebbe says l'chayra, the metzias didn't change. It didn't make sense 1,000 years ago to be running around busy with wars all the time and killing each other. It wasn't that it made sense then, and now the sense changed. No, it made no sense then, and it makes no sense now. But now, their seichel finally is able to grasp what even 1,000 years ago it didn't make sense. Now they finally understand it. So the Rebbe says, what does the change mean? That means that the impact of Melech HaMashiach is not in a way that he's overpowering the world. It's in a way of that he's transforming the world from within. That the seichel of the world, that the panemius of the world already understands and appreciates, al pi seichel, that you're not supposed to go to war. That war is bad, and peace is good. You need to be channeling the resources of the world towards towards productive things rather than towards war and destruction. What does that mean? That means that now we're not talking anymore about the old model of Golos, where you work in the dark and the world stays dark and everything is happening on a hidden plane, and one day when Mashiach comes, it'll all be revealed. That was the model of working in Golos. That's how it works when you're in the middle of a war. When you're in the middle of a war and you're on a battlefield, and you're crawling through the mud, and there's bullets whizzing around you on all sides, and you're fighting, the fact that you're 100 miles back or 100 miles forward doesn't really change that much for you. You don't see the difference. Even if your army, is making a lot of progress, for you, you don't really see that progress. Your world is still the same. You're still in the same foxhole. You're still in the same blotter. You're still in the same situation of fighting a war. But once the war ends and you won, okay, now you won. So let's say World War II on the European theater, the Americans won, the Germans surrendered, the Americans won. So you come, you won, you walk in, you look around, so what do you see? Everything is destroyed, everything is bombed out, everything is... So but you won. So what you won means that now is time to rebuild. But the point is, now you finally get to see what it is that you accomplished after with all those years of fighting. That's the point. After you win, you're supposed to now... It doesn't mean you won, and now everything's good, and you can go sit, you go home and relax and then take it easy. Now you first have to finish the job, take care of what it is that you set out to do when you went to war. You went to war for a reason. You wanted to accomplish something when you went to war. Once you win the war, now is the time to actually see the fruits of your labor. So just like the Alter Rebbe says that in Golus, you're working all the years and you don't see the fruits of your labors. And that's the system, the way it works in Golus. You work, you work, you work. And after 50 years of work, they say to you, now 50 years later, now the world is even darker than before. You read the Sadeiris. When you started, the world was lighter. After all the years of working, now the world is even darker. And that's how the system works. You work, you work, you work, and not only does it get lighter, it gets darker. But at some point comes the time when we say, okay, now we finished the job. Now it's not getting darker anymore. Now it's starting to get lighter. It's starting to get lighter, so everything changes. Means that you're not supposed to be fighting the darkness anymore. You're not supposed to be fighting against the darkness. What you're supposed to be doing is, you're supposed to be taking the light that you always had, except that the light that you always had is hidden. It only operated in a hidden way. And the light in the world was hidden. The light in you was hidden. The light in Torah was hidden. The light in the world was hidden. It's all hidden. You're working with it in Golus in order that someday it should be revealed. But now along comes the Rebbe and says, this is the day. It's starting to be revealed in the world, not just in a way of like the Alter Rebbe says, that the infinite light is more present in the darkness and the infinite light is more present than Golus. The Rebbe says in the previous that the Seichel of the Goy is already understanding that things are changing, that the world is different, the world is changing, that the work of Torah and Mitzvahs and the work of seven generations of bringing godliness, of chassidus and godliness into the world, it's having its effect, and the world is actually, we're starting to see the light in the world. We're starting to see the light in the world, so the job changes. If we say that it finished, the war is over, so to speak, now it's not about fighting in the dark. Now it's about pulling yourself out of the foxhole. And now, starting to rebuild the cities that were all bombed out and destroyed, and now you can actually see Paris. You can actually see the fruits of your labor, the results of what it is that you've been fighting for all these years. So it doesn't mean that it's time that we finish the job and it's time to go to sleep. It means you finish the job that everyone said, you think that when Mashiach comes, we're talking about Mashiach comes fatig, you know, you're ready in Eretz Yisrael with a Beis HaMikdash. You think that when Mashiach comes and you're ready in Eretz Yisrael with a Beis HaMikdash, there's not going to be any work left to do. You're going to be able to sit back and relax. It says that's when the work first starts. Think of all the Jews who don't have a basic education in Torah Mitzvahs. They're going to all come running and they need an education, right? So who's going to teach them? The people who do know are going to have to teach them. There's going to be a lot more work. Now a guy goes out at Shluchas, so he goes to a town. What does he have? A few hundred families. You're going to have millions and millions of Jews are going to come running and going to say, hello, I need to learn. Not to mention all the millions of Goyim that are going to want to know, right? The Goyim are also going to want to know how to serve God. So the work first starts. I mean, even Pashat practice, if you figure it out, how many people are going to need tefillin? How many people are going to need tzitzis? How many people are going to need just the practical stuff of it? All these things of Torah Mitzvahs, you can't do, it doesn't work through miracles. You have to do B'derech HaTeva. You need somebody to sit down, and take a piece of cloth, and then a pen and ink, and he has to write it. and it takes time, and it takes concentration, and it takes skill. It's not something that's going to happen by itself. So the point is, of course there's work involved once you finally win the war. It doesn't mean that when you win the war, it's over and you go to sleep. When you win the war, that's now you have to go and rebuild the whole Europe that got destroyed from dropping who knows how many bombs on it. Now you have to rebuild the whole thing. You have to make seder. You have to make order. You have to rebuild your own lives. You have to rebuild your own world. There's a lot of work involved, but it's the work of, it's not the work of struggling in the dark, of struggling in Golos. It's the work of making the victory a reality, that it should be, the victory should be a victory. It shouldn't just be on paper, okay, the Rebbe came and the Rebbe said that we finished. Right? There's a lot of people that walk around, they say, I don't know what it means. The Rebbe came along and the Rebbe said, the work of Birurim are over. They say, what does it mean? I don't know what it means. I'm still doing the same thing I did before. I don't know what it means. What changed? The Rebbe is telling you what changed. It's not the whole point of what does it mean, the work of Birurim. The work of Birurim means exactly the way I described it before. That after you've, the way it works in Golos is like this. After you elevate one spark, now you have to go lower to get the lower sparks. So the world has to keep getting darker and darker and darker. Right? That's how this explains. Why is it that it keeps getting darker and darker from one generation to the next? Because each spark that you elevate, you first can get the easier ones. Then you have to go get the more difficult ones. And then you have to go get the more difficult ones. So as you go, for every spark you elevate, the world gets darker. That's the result in Avedis HaBirurim. The way it works is, the more sparks you elevate, the darker the world gets. Because now you have to go to the lowest sparks. When the Rebbe says that the work is over, the Rebbe says means that now we're at a time where you can give people to understand that you can make the world lighter. You can make the world brighter. Now it's not about fighting the darkness and waiting for the next wave of even greater darkness to come. Now it's about revealing the light in the world. One of the things that people who are involved in outside of Lubavitch, people involved in Kirov, so one of the things they've been noticing lately is they say, you know, we used to have people who are searching. People who are searching. Now, you don't see that people are searching anymore. So they're all trying to figure out how to come up with alternative ways of redoing the outreach work, because people aren't looking. But the problem is, the reason why people aren't looking is because the world changed. It's not about sitting in the dark and trying to fight your way out of the dark and not getting anywhere, because for every success you just get a whole new darkness. The idea is that people want to understand and appreciate the light. We're not here to fight the darkness of the world anymore. The war is over. So the Rebbe came along and the Rebbe says like this. So the Rebbe says, what's the kasha? So the Rebbe says, after you hear that ve'elah mishpatim, that you hear that the world is changing, that the goyim are starting to understand the seichel of a goy fashteit, the world is becoming a more lichtiger place. The light of Mashiach is starting to be felt in the world. It's not becoming a progressively darker place. There's a lichtigkeit is getting through for the first time. And it's not just getting through, it's getting through in a way that mamish, it's reaching even the lowest levels of existence that even the seichel of a goy understands as abstevelt as anders today. You can't, what used to be in the world is today, it's not acceptable anymore. You can't live like that anymore. You have to start, yeah, okay, a goy is a goy, so sometimes he just says he wants peace and then he does, behind the scenes, he does something different. But the point is, he understands. Even the guy who's still trying to make war understands that he has to come up with a terrence, because war doesn't make sense. No one accepts that war is a good thing. So for thousands of years, not only was war a good thing, but the whole society, the heroes of every society, was the warriors. Who was the heroes? Who did they make parades for? Who did they make? They didn't make parades for baseball players. They made parades for soldiers, for warriors. That's who got the parades. Because that was the greatest thing that a person could do in the world, was to go to war and be a great warrior. But today, you had to understand that that's not the way it's supposed to be. So the Rebbe says, so what's the kasha that the Rebbe ends up with? In that sikh of Mishpata, that's a gewaldig kasha. So why aren't we building a Beis HaMikdash already? In other words, if the point is that now we're in a world where the presence of the Shekhinah can be felt in a revealed way, where the Eivish's involvement in the world can be brought and shown to people in a revealed way, and we're starting to see the light, if we're starting to see the light, so everybody say, where's the Beis HaMikdash? We need a Beis HaMikdash already. This that we say, that in Golos, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, because we say that the Golos, what happens when the Beis HaMikdash, like the Zohar says, when the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, is because Kutcha Brichu Solik Le'ilu. The Eibishter takes his presence, is no longer revealed within the world, and he operates from a place of concealment in the world. But if now we're living in a world, we're in a world where already that the light is starting to be revealed in the world, and not just through some miracles, but in a panemistic way, that the light is being brought down in a panemistic way, so much so, even into the panemius and the sechel of a guy. So Eibazay, the kasha is, where's the directive to build a Beis HaMikdash? We should already be building a Beis HaMikdash. So the Rebbe comes along in the next sikha. What the Rebbe says is like this. Previously, this that every Jew had infinite koiches, mitzad, the higher levels of his neshama, that was always true. And that was true in Golos throughout. And the way that was expressed in Golos was through fighting the war of Golos. Shtus Tegdusha. The Midah of Netzach is Boshesh in the Atzam HaNeshama. How do you fight the war in Golos? How do you fight in darkness when it's dark by you and it's dark in the world and it just keeps getting darker? The way you keep going is because you tap into these unbelievable koichos that you have mitzad the higher levels of your neshama that you don't normally have access to. But if the point is that the light of Geula is present in the world, that means the aspect of the higher levels of divine reality are now becoming revealed in the world. That's because when we say the war is over, Lagabi, the world, that means the war is over, Lagabi, you too. What that means, Lagabi, you, is that those same koiches that you previously only had access to in a way of that it came out in the darkness. It came out from the Mesiris Nefesh. It came out from the opposition. It came out from the fact that a guy had a gun to your head. It came out from the fact that somebody said that you're not allowed to do a certain thing. Or it came out from the fact that you were going into a place and trying to fight and change the place from what it is. The way you brought out those deeper koiches that you had. So therefore, the way, even when they were revealed, they were only revealed in a way, they expressed themselves in a way of Mesiris Nefesh, they expressed themselves in a way of fighting a war. But those deeper koiches are, in Hasidic terminology, the essence of your neshama, or the yechidah of your neshama. This is what is spiritually, in Hasidus, is described as the inyan of Ashirus. That is the wealth, meaning that you have an aspect of your neshama that's infinite. It doesn't have any finite limitations of this world at all. So, but the problem is that normally it's in a concealed way. You can tap into it, a certain koiches that you can take from it, but it all operates within the darkness. When Mashiach comes, the idea of Mashiach, we say that Mashiach is the revelation of the Yechidah, or the revelation of the Etzem HaNeshama, and similarly the Mashiach is the revelation of the Yechidah of each and every Jew, or the Etzem HaNeshama of each and every Jew. The point is that those infinite curves that you have are now supposed to become revealed by you. They're not supposed to be these hidden koiches that the only way you tap into it is through banging your head against the darkness, through shtus de kedusha, through fighting darkness. Now, all the stuff that used to be in the darkness is now coming out into the light. That's the work now. The work now is to get in touch with that part of yourself and bring it out into the light, not fighting the darkening. Because the Rebbe says, I'm showing you real examples of how there's real change happening in the world. The light of Geula is coming into the world. It's about bringing the light. It's not about banging up against the darkness and holding your breath and waiting for the next bigger darkness to come along. And that's the problem with, in so many ways, we're still stuck in that old model. Everyone's waiting for the next terrible klipa to come along, they were so excited. We have an internet. We can blame all our tzaras on an internet. Oh, Baruch Hashem, Golus is still here. We don't have to change. We might have to change and start adapting to Geula. No, but the world got a little bit darker. We could say, darkness. It's not light, it's darkness. Yeah, darkness I know. Darkness I'm familiar with. Let's fight. Let's go to war. Let's figure out how to fight darkness, because that's what I'm good at. That's why I spent my whole
career.
I've been doing this for the last 2,000 years, fighting darkness. So that's what we're good at. That's what we know. That's what we're not so good at, but at least it's what we're familiar with. Nobody knows what to do. And they say, yes, it's luchtig. Now it's light. Sit and bring out the light. Nobody saw. What do you do? What are you supposed to do? I don't know what he means. What does he want? What is he saying? It's all so mysterious. It's all so confusing because we're just so not familiar with it. So yes, we hear about a nice thing that Eber says in the Sikha about how this changed, that changed. Very nice, very exciting, but show me some darkness. I need some of that. I need something to sink my teeth into. I need something to fight. I need something to go to war with, because that's what I know. And that's the Rebbe saying that the lesson that the Rebbe said the Sikha Parsha is true. But the whole idea is that we're supposed to be getting rid of the negativity through the positive, the joy. The Simcha of Adar negates all the negativity of Chodesh Av. Our job now is no longer about fighting with the darkness. Our job is by tapping into the light that we have within ourselves and bringing out that light. That, how did we get into, what do you mean, what light do I have? That light that you were working with in all the years of fighting the darkness. You didn't see the light that you have, but you know you had it because you accomplished many great things in the fight against the darkness, right? So you know that light is there, and I'm showing you that light is now ready to come out and to be revealed in a tangible way, in ways that affect real everyday life, not just some mystical. I came to a Fabrengen not that long ago, and I just started chazing over. It's a Fabrengen, so obviously you got to keep it a little light. I before it was suckers. You have to say something. Chassidus again, just to keep it light. So I figured I'll start off with a nekuda from a maimer, and then I'll talk Fabrengen stories. I start off with the nekuda from the maimus. It's just nothing complicated, but I just spoke about the idea that Sukkot is taking the higher levels of the neshama and bringing it down it's bringing the makif into pnimi and the siyashra. So I said from a maimus that ever says, like things that everybody has, things that he has in a way of emuna. You have to bring it down in a way that it's not just emuna, but that you actually internalize it and relate to it as. So I mentioned it. So somebody right away, somebody said there. He said, what? He said, he made some kind of joke about Chaya and Yechida that. Someone should make a shidduch between Chaya and Yechida, and like, you know, the whole, it was some kind of joke. Like, the whole idea is like, Like, we don't relate to these concepts, we don't relate to these ideas at all, it has nothing to do with us, and, you know, talk about things that are more practical. And I'm telling you now, because I still haven't gotten over this. This is from Sukkot, and I'm still looking around. I still haven't gotten over it. I'm still, every time I think about it, smoke is coming out of my ears. I can't wrap my brain around it. For 200 years, the Rabbeim are trying to hack into our heads that, hello, it's not just about the aspects of the neshama that you have ready access to. You need to tap into these higher levels of the neshama. That's what we're here for. That's the job. That's what we've been trying to. That's what Chassidus, I mean, came to do from day one. The point is, obviously, yes, you don't quite understand what it is, and you don't quite appreciate what it is, but it's there, and you know it's there. You know that you have a mesiras nefesh inside you. You know you have the capacity for things that are beyond what. So to make a joke out of it, I still can't get over. But the point is, the Rebbe is trying to tell us here in this zichel, the Rebbe says that we have these koiches, those same koiches that till now we've only known about in terms of as koiches used to fight darkness or to resist darkness, to stand up to darkness. We've only been aware of those koiches in that context. What the Rebbe is saying is, the Hayrah, to build the Beis HaMikdash, means that now we have to take those same keches and bring them out in positive, revealed, positive ways, not about fighting darkness. So the two examples that the Rebbe gives is about being wealthy and being happy, right? You want to get practical. He's worried about these higher levels of the neshama. What's the practical implication? So the practical implication is being wealthy or being happy. Those are things that most people are interested in. Although in Lubavitch, it's almost like happiness is, people treat happiness as like just, it's just another job that the Rebbe gave us. So it's, I have to be happy, I have to be happy. It's like another, you know, there was a chassid who said that he used to stay up every Thursday night, all night, and learn. And he once went into Yechidus, he was a bachet, he went into Yechidus by the Rebbe Rashab. And when the Rebbe Rashab gave him a hayrah, that he should stay up Thursday nights and learn. So he thought to himself, he's already doing it. But the Rebbe told him he should stay up Thursday nights and learn, something he's already doing. He's like, what's the... She said, the next Thursday night came, and it was impossible. He felt like he had been doing it for years, he's staying up every Thursday night. After the Rebbe told him to stay up Thursday night, it felt like it was so hard, he could barely keep his eyes open, he was struggling, he was standing on one foot. Staying up Thursday night became the hardest thing in the world for him, after the Rebbe told him to do it. Because now, before he did it, because he felt like doing it, now all of a sudden it was an avodah. You know, he realized that Beruchni is, once the Rebbe told him, the whole thing changed, it became an avodah, and all of a sudden it was hard. So it's like for us, you know, the Rebbe said so many times, Simcha, 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 it became almost like, it's like a job, you know, okay, so let's see, this day you have to dance, that day you have to this, it's like Simcha is a job. But what the Rebbe is trying to tell us is, you know, the Mishnah says like this, the Mishnah says, Ezo Asha Samech Bechelke. Who is a rich person? Someone who's Samech Bechelke. So ever since I'm a little child, there's like the Gersa of the Yankasa of childhood, and I don't know why, but people tend to translate it, he who is satisfied with his lot. That's not what Asamech Bechelke means. Samech means someone who's joyful with his lot, which is very different than being satisfied. Being satisfied means I have enough, I can get by. Being joyful means, when are you joyful? When you feel like you have much more than you need. When is a person joyful? A person is joyful when he feels like he has much more than he needs. So Asamech Bechelke doesn't mean somebody says, Ezeu Asha Asamech Bechelke, this guy says, yeah, I can get by with what I have. That's not he's not the usher that the Mishnah is talking about. He doesn't walk around feeling like an usher. He walks around feeling like a schlepper, but he's a frumma schlepper. So I have to get by, says in the Mishnah. I'm satisfied. Okay, I'm satisfied. Asamech Bechelke means he walks around he's dancing on the clouds. He has much more than he needs. Whatever he has is much more than he needs. What's the practical difference between someone who's making do with what he has, or somebody who feels he has much more than he needs? Somebody who feels that he has much more than he needs is always looking to share it with other people. If you feel like you have much more than you need, you want to share with others. It's when you feel like you just have you're just getting by, you're just scraping by. It is so sharing with others already becomes like, I have to see if I have enough, if I have this, if I have a little left over, then maybe I'll share with somebody else. So this idea that the Rebbe says that every Jew has gold, every Jew has ashiras, every Jew has wealth, and the Rebbe says that the way to reveal the ashiras begashmias is by first revealing your ashiras beruchnias. What's ashiras beruchnias? The Rebbe says it says ein asher ela bedas, and the Chassidus explains that what's ashiras? Ashiras is das elyon, as opposed to das tachton. It all sounds like very high, lofty stuff. So it almost takes away. You look at the hero, it almost becomes like impractical. So yeah, okay. So I'm supposed to get in touch with these really high levels. But again, we're used to looking at this thing the wrong way. We know to us the high levels of the neshama. We know that the neshama of every Jew has unbelievable keichas. So the Rebbe explains in the Sikha about how at Matan Torah, why every Jew is participated in the building of the Mishkan. To build a physical dwelling for the Eibishter, you need somebody on a very high, which should need somebody on a very high level. How is it that every single Jew could participate? The Rebbe says, because every single Jew, no matter what happens with him, at Matan Torah, he became a being that has the capacity to fuse infinite godliness with a finite world. And even if he becomes Yisrael Af Pi Shechata, as long as he still has this Pentel Yid in him, every Jew has this capacity. And therefore, every Jew is Shaykh to Zov, which is the first on the list of the donations to the Beis HaMikdash. The point is that Rebbe is saying that you have that inside you. That's who you are. That's what you are. The question is, until now, you only had access to who you are and what you are. The only way you could discover what you are is if you were challenged by something negative. The only way you could get in touch with what deeper... The Rebbe says, now we passed that point. We finished. The war's over. Now you have to, looking back, saying, okay, how did we get through this whole process? The way we got through this whole process is because I have, like every Jew, we have all these unbelievable deep kaychas. That's how we survived till now. How did we make it to this point? We made it to this point because of the unbelievable kaychas that we have and the unbelievable kaychas that the Rebbe has and helps reveal within us. But the Rebbe is saying, now I'm giving you the kayach to helping you reveal those things within yourself, not in the negative, not by fighting the darkness, but dafka to bring it out in positive ways. And to bring out and reveal that this is who you really are. To get in touch with who you really are and bring it into your everyday Avedis Hashem, into your learning, into your Ruchnias. To stop saying... So, for example, let me give an example. The system, as part of the Gola system, so the whole way... There's a whole way of talking in Lubavitch. There's a whole way of looking at the world that we developed. The rest of the world has their whole way of thinking about things. But within Lubavitch itself, there's a whole system. There's a yeshiva that's been around and its various branches that have been around for over 100 years with Mashpiyim. And there's a whole system and approach and a way of talking and looking at things and describing things. So the whole approach is built around, the whole language is built around this struggle with the darkness, this struggle in Golos, this surviving. So the whole language is, you're nothing. You're nobody. You're worthless. But it's very important that, but you have a very important mission, you have a very important role. It doesn't matter if you're going to get any spiritual growth or development out of it. You need to do your job. It's all about the job, it's all about the mission. So even though you're a nobody and you're going to stay a nobody and you're not going to achieve anything in terms of your own spiritual growth and you're not going to, and all that doesn't matter because there's a job to do, there's a mission that has to be carried out. And forget, the more you prepare to sacrifice for the mission, the better it is. It just so happens to be you actually will benefit a little bit, and actually your own spirituality will benefit a little bit the more you sacrifice yourself for the mission. But the point is, it's not about you, and it's not about your spirituality and so on. It's only about the mission. So the whole language is to not talk. It's almost like an embarrassment to somebody, for somebody comes along and he says he wants to be, he's like actually looking for ruchnius, he's actually looking for spirituality, he's actually looking for something. It's almost like embarrassing, because who do you think you are? I mean, what are you, the newcomers who don't know, when you go to other frum people, or you go to chassidim from other groups, so of course you have to sell them ruchnius, because that's what they're interested in. So you have to, you know, you have to explain to them how chassidus offers. Or then when they finally get in, you tell them, forget about you, forget about your ruchnius. It's about the shluchas. It's about the you and your stupid ruchnius. Forget it. You have to sacrifice your ruchnius. Okay, fine. But the point is that the Rebbe is trying to tell us this. That it's not about sacrificing your ruchni, it's not about sacrificing your gashmis, it's about revealing those same kaiches that you used to reveal by sacrificing your ruchni. And sacrificing your gashmis, you need to reveal those in your ruchnis and in your gashmis. That needs to become, you need to have that wealth, begashmis. You need to have that wealth for ruchnis. It's obviously not just for yourself. Obviously, a big part of doing that is by sharing that with others. You can't just wake up one day and say, I'm going to. The point is not that you go into a corner and decide that now you're going to be the rich guy, Beruchnius, and the rich guy, Begashmius. Of course, it's still about bringing that to others and revealing that to others and showing others and teaching others. Because that's the very nature of somebody who's an usher, a real usher, the way it's explained in Chassidus an usher, not the way it's explained in Forbes an usher. An usher Chassidus is somebody that. Shaket, he has, all he's worried about is the other guy. The marshal of Tfilas Asher, we give the marshal of Moshe Rabbeinu, of Tfilas Asher, the Medrash gives, Chazal give a marshal of the king, opens up the door for all of his, for all of the people to come. People can come bring in their requests for what they need, and he has one minister who comes in and says to the king, me, I don't need anything. I have everything. So what can I do for you if you have everything you need? What can I do for you? So he says, there's a city in the country that belongs to you that's run down and in ruins. I'm asking that you should decree that it should be built up. That's the marshal that has brought a chazal. Chassidus explains at great length. What's a tefillas usher? A tefillas usher is, I don't need anything. It's not for me. I don't need anything. Well, I need to see that the city that's in ruins should finally be rebuilt. So that's what happens after. What happens after the war is over? After the war is over, you have to take all the places that are in ruins, and now you have to take the world and rebuild it in the image of the Torah, and the image of the Eibishter, and the image of Chassidus, and the image. So you have to do that with your own life. You've spent a lot of years out on the battlefield. You have to rebuild your own life too. And part of the problem you have after wars are over, guys come back, they spend their whole life at war, they come back and they don't know how to live a normal life. They don't know how to run a normal family life and a normal business life. And all this. All they know is they're looking for a mud hole somewhere to crawl through with a gun and then have someone shoot at them because they don't know anything else. That's the world that they know. So the Rebbe is saying that the Hayrah, why does he build the Beis HaMikdash? So where's the Beis HaMikdash? That the Hayrah build the Beis HaMikdash means that now is not the time we're not fighting anymore. Now it's the rebuilding phase. Now it's the rebuilding the world in the image of the Torah, in the image of the Torah, the Eibishter as is expressed in the Torah, especially as it's expressed in Chassidus, in your own life and in the world around. So this is the Nekuda that the Rebbe starts off with, this idea that the Simcha of Ada has the power that through the Simcha it has the power to transform all the negativity. We're not talking about Simcha as a tool. That Simcha that we mentioned before, there's a hira from the Rebbe to be b'Simcha. So I have to be b'Simcha. It's part of the job of, did I ever say you have to take over the street? So we're going to go out and we're going to dance in the street. We're going to take over the street. Do I feel particularly happy today? No. Do I feel like dancing? No. But it's part of the war, part of the way of bringing godliness into the street, part of the way of fighting the darkness and the falsehood of the world is through it's through the avodah of joy, even if it's al pisechel. Even if I'll pitam v'das, I have nothing to be happy about. I have nothing in it. So there's such an avoda, and it's taka gavaldig avoda. I'm not. I wasn't. I made a joke before. You should think I was chas v'shalom daka. Forget. There's such an inyan that when taka b'misumcha, even when you're not. But now the Rebbe is talking about a whole different dekuda. The Rebbe is talking about the simcha as pashut to stop with the darkness. And to connect with the light. And all these sikhas and all these things that the Rebbe is for over a year, and the Rebbe is showing you how the world, I'm just talking from the sikh of the week before and the week after, and showing how it's connected, but the Rebbe was going for a year. The truth is, if you look back, the Rebbe was going already for a few years. But he intensified it in that last year before. The point is that Rebbe is trying to show you that now we have to turn around our whole model of working, and we're not looking to tap into these deeper kaychas that we have, and we know we have. We always knew we have, and that's how we did what we did. Some of us did it more, some of us did it less, but we knew we knew it was there, and we knew. And we knew that you could stop a yid on the street and ask him to put on tefillin, and he says, "I hate you. I hate tefillin. I hate everything," and that shouldn't bother you. Why? Because you're not talking to him. You're talking to that deeper kaychas of his neshama, and you say, "Yeah, but I love you, and I love you, and I love you. Please, sure, don't worry. Yeah, I know you hate the tefillin. Good, it's good for you anyway." So how did you do that? How did you keep telling a guy to put out tefillin if he's telling you, right? There's nothing else in the world that you would do. You would try to push on a guy, except besides for a mitzvah. There's nothing else you would try to push on a guy who says, "I'm not interested," right? Why do you think you could push dafka mitzvah on him? Because you wouldn't try it as a tactic as a salesman for any other product or service. It's only with a mitzvah. Why? Because you're not dealing with his revealed kaychus. You're dealing, you want to get in touch with that pintle yid. You're trying to bypass the revealed kaychus and get in touch with that pintle yid. Did ever say that pintle yid? That pintle yid that enables every single Jew that was given to every single Jew at Matan Torah. That pintle yid now has to be revealed, but it has to be revealed in the positive. And when it's revealed in the positive, it's taka manifests as Ashiras Begashmias and Ashiras Beruchnias. That's the way it's supposed to manifest itself. We're not about sacrificing your Gashmias and your Ruchnias for the war effort. That process is over. Even though I know the people are cocking, we started the third time around Basi Lagani, and then this Yud Shvat. I heard some shiurim and I saw some things online of people who were starting all over again with the war again, and the Shtos Tikdusha and the war, and I think that the Rebbe is trying to tell us is this is back in Umbeis, all those sikhs from that month of Shvat The Rebbe is talking about 10 and 11 and 10 and 11 and 22 and 2 times 11 and 10 plus 11 and 11 and 10 and 11. The whole point that Rebbe keeps trying to make from all those sichas is, it's finished. That whole model, that whole system, that whole idea of going to war with the world, of fighting the world, and you have to banging your head against the darkness, that's finished. It's over. We already have the Aleph in the Yud, and the Yud, as it's ready to accept the Aleph in the Yud, as the Yud Aleph as it goes up, and the Yud Aleph as it comes down, and the Yud Aleph from within the world, from without the world. It's all, the Rebbe is trying from both sides to communicate this one idea, that the process has to change. We're not selling combat tools how to fight the darkness. That's not who we are anymore. We're not in that business anymore. We're not in the business of Lurch citizen, you'll have the tools to fight the darkness. But that's really still what we know. That's what we have, all these brochures and all these catalogs and all the combat gear of how to fight darkness. That's what we know. That's what we've been selling forever. And the Rebbe is saying, no, that's not what we're doing anymore. Now we're taking chassidus and we're saying, how to light up your world. How to light up your world, how to light up the whole world, how to bring Lichtigkeit into your life and into the world. The light of Geula, the Aleph of the Eivishter in the Geula, and to bring the Aleph into the Geula and to make it Geula. The Rebbe says we have to get out of the business of combat gear. We need our own spiritual v'chitzuch harveisam le'ita. We have to get rid of our spiritual harveisam. We have to stop fighting the dogs, and we have to develop spiritual item. We have to develop pashut. We're in the market of selling the light. It's not stama light. It's the light of the yichidish ever nefesh, the light of the etzem anashom. It's the light way beyond any light that was ever available before. We're not talking about the light of the a generation that's been in Golas for 2,000 years. We're talking about the light of Geula. And this is what we need to be revealing for ourselves in our own life. This is what we need to be selling and marketing, so to speak, to the world. When I look even at some of the Mashiach activities, it's almost like we figured out a way to take Mashiach and make Mashiach into about fighting the darkness. So we can run around and say that even though we don't see anything and we don't hear anything and it's the seichel, that I have so much emuna that I don't care how dark it is, I don't care. But the whole conversation is about the darkness and how. But by believing in Mashiach, believing in the Rebbe as Mashiach, you mamish achieve a whole new level of Mesiris Nefesh and confronting the darkness. I'm so not impressed by the darkness that I'm willing to go out and scream and do. But it's all about fighting the darkness and who's better at fighting the darkness. These other people say, listen, the darkness is so real that you probably shouldn't even fight it. You should just accept it and don't try to fight it. But it's all about the debates, the discussions on the whole topic of how to handle publicity about Mashiach. It's all about starting with the Hanacha, that we're treating it the same way we treated every other mitzvah. It's about going with Mesiris Nefesh and Shtus Tekdusha and fighting darkness. That's not a Mashiach. That's a Golus. That's what Golus is. Banging your head against the darkness. A Mashiach means is good news. No more busy with darkness. Forget fighting darkness. It's not about fighting darkness. It's about embracing the light. It's about harnessing the light, incorporating the light, channeling the light. It's all about bringing in the light and the Lichtigkeit of Geula and the light and Lichtigkeit of Mashiach. Each person, and in fact, it's very interesting that when the Rebbe was Baramas, the place where the Rebbe was Baram is that there'll be a tkufa in which Mashiach's presence won't be as revealed. Back in the Sichas from Kislev, the Rebbe talks about the revelation of Mashiach, that Mashiach is already revealed. So the Rebbe talks about two different levels of Mashiach. The Rebbe says there's the Ayur of Mashiach and there's the Avir of Mashiach. The light of Mashiach and there's the Avir of Mashiach. So the Rebbe says Avir is also Ayur with the letter Yud. As the Avir of the Ayur of Mashiach is where he's already revealed through his Pa'ulas. The Avir of Mashiach is just where only his existence is revealed. He's not yet revealed through his Pa'ulas, but Avir is Ayur Yud means that already all the Giluim are already present. They're all already there to come out. They just have to be brought out and they just have to be revealed. The whole point that the Rebbe is saying, even when you're talking about the revelation of the Metzias of Mashiach, the revelation of the Rebbe, and those shichas where the Rebbe is talking, where the Rebbe says about the Yechi Adoni HaMelech L'Olam, the point is that it's supposed to be a lichtigazach. You're supposed to be tapping in to the lichtigkeit, the light of Geula. The Rebbe Mamash talks in those weeks, the Rebbe talks about learning Torah on a whole new level, being kaivish to Gemul Meichen. The Rebbe talks about all kinds of areas of Avodas Hashem have to be on a whole new higher level, because he's not talking about trying to channel the conversation away from this old system of fighting the darkness, of fighting the golos, and it's all about bringing down the light, bringing back the light of your own neshama, the light of your own ashiras that you have be'etzim, your ashiras be'etzim, your ashiras beruchnis, your ashiras begashmias, be'ikah to talk of bring down the light of the skalos of Melech HaMashiach. Take it from Yad Mamash.
Amen. Amen.